Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-521.
皆様、本日はフィル・ヘンドリーエアをご利用いただき誠にありがとうございます。この飛行機は地上3万フィートを飛行してまいります。また通信本日機内ではゴジラを用意しております。またパールハーバー。 And now here's Phil.
Phil Hendry at 1-800-449-8686. I haven't seen the game, but I'm going to close my eyes now and say that I thinkThe Braves made a comeback tonight, made it 2-1. I have no idea, haven't seen an inning, haven't seen a moment of the game tonight, but I am making this prediction simply because Yanks can't do another 4 and out, can they? Can they actually do that? Now, I am not an Atlanta Brave fan, not a New York Yankee fan, but because I'm a National League fan, and because I'm specifically more a Los Angeles Dodger fan, there's no way that I can root for the Braves. I'd have to sort of, you know...kind of just keep my food down. I'd have to just force the food back down into my stomach and root for the Yankees this time out. But only this time out. So now Tony is dialing around. We're going to find out about that in just one moment. Matthew McConaughey, the actor, was arrested for, I guess, possession of marijuana. They said he was dancing and playing a bongo drum in the nude. And that's got to be a good thing. That's got, anytime a guy feels free enough, anytime a man feels liberated enough to run around his house with a bongo drum. It's the last time you've seen one of those. When's the last time somebody busted out a bongo drum at a party that you went to, Schaefer? Oh, you mean last night? I'm talking about like normal people. What's the last time you ever saw a guy break out a couple of bongos, put them between his knees and say, come on, let's get nuts, let's get whack. There's nothing wrong with that at all. And when your life is going so good...that you're running around the house stark, raving nude with a bongo drum. Life is beautiful. A couple of months ago you did? I tried to talk my wife into going out getting me a Yanks win. So there you go. There's Hendry. Not figuring the Yanks could do it. Going back to whatever it is, 96, winning 9 straight postseason games. They've just won 10. Bottom of the 9th, home run to beat the Braves. It's over.And everybody's just beating up on old Atlanta. The decade of the Braves, I don't think so. You got to win World Championships to be completely fair and to be as kind as I can be and as delicate as I can be. You got to win a World Series. You cannot. And I know they won one. But this will make 2 for the Yankees in this decade. Blue Jays have won a couple. Marlins won one. I think you have to win more than one World's Championship to be deemed the decade's team, the team of the 90s. You have to, as many pennants as they won, as many divisional championships, it just is, you just, it, they weren't doing it there in old A-Town. The Yanks, the Pinstripe, the Bronx Bombers, the New York Yankees.And how long that's going to go on. The last 100 years have been nothing but Yankees. Maybe the next 100, I don't know. For as long as we're around, that team is just going to constantly, with all of that Jack, man, and all of those crazy fans, they care up in New York. That's the difference. It ain't never going to change. You figure it'd be the Dodgers team of the 90s? I don't think so. Ain't going to be the Dodgers anytime soon. So Matthew McConaughey gets popped for running around his apartment with a bongo drum, stark raving naked, and he's got weed. Now, there was a time, it's interesting to look back, I'm a fan and an aficionado, and maybe I'm just really crazy about really minute history. I like the small portions of history, things that you're not going to find in a history book, like drug possession, drug arrests, particularly the famous. There was a time famous people...celebrities specifically, got arrested for drug possession, and it was a serious charge, at least in terms of their public relations and their public image. You can go back to the 40s. There was an old-time actor named Robert Mitchum. This cat was in, you know, some pretty significant movies. This guy in 1948 got popped for marijuana possession. Now, in 1948...You could go to prison for the rest of your life for just holding a joint. And they said that was the end of his career. They said he'd never make a movie again. They said this guy had just shot himself in the foot. They said it was over. And apparently he came out of that smelling like a rose. 6 months later, stood before the judge. He said, what do you want from me? And I guess they threw the charges out of something. Mitchum walked out of that thing smelling like a, just smelling like fresh oregano. And down through the years, people get arrested. There was a, I think there was a drug arrest involving the Buffalo Springfield, Stephen Stills, and those guys. I think, you know, they're down through the years, people get popped. The Stones, the Beatles, somebody, was it Paul McCartney got arrested in Tokyo? But as the years progress, it becomes less and less significant to the point where it doesn't even hurt you anymore. I mean, there was a time when it would really significantly impact your career in terms of negative public perception and public consumption of your product. How many shots has that cat Downey gotten? That Robert Downey Jr. This guy come. The guy's making movies. He's still in prison. Now, I never heard of anything like that. You get arrested for drugs. You go into the joint. You're cool on your heels. Maybe when you get out, things are going to be okay. It's gotten to a point now. A guy gets arrested for smack. I mean, a guy is, he's a junk mule. This guy is, he's a rockhead. It doesn't make any difference. While he's in, intermittently inside and coming out, well, I got a movie to make, man. Okay, we'll put you on work release. Guy's out doing a flick on work release. But weed, forget it. There's nobody. Nobody got a problem with that anymore. Nobody's got a problem with that anymore, except for the handful of people who still remember Reefer Madness, and they still think that, well, the fact of the matter is, we have one legal intoxicant, that's all we need. We've got one legal recreational drug, and the powers that be figure that that's enough. Is there any other that you can think of? Now, I'm not talking about over-the-counter prescription or under-the-counter. Booze is the legalized, state-sanctioned recreational drug, because we have hundreds of years invested institutionally in the money-making machine that runs the liquor industry. That's the only reason, because you can argue all you want about how it's much more hurtful. It is a much more dangerous drug. It's got nothing to do with it. Nicotine. But it's not a mood changer. Unless you ain't smoking it. That's the only drug I know of. If you ain't smoking it, your mood changes. Because if we step back and we said, well, what's the safest, yada, 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 hell, it might be weed. I don't know. It might be coke. For all I know, it might be heroin. But it's booze, because we have that long-standing institutionalized feeling about that stuff. So that's the stuff. So the Matthew McConaughey thing about getting popped for weed, what difference does it make? It's no big thing. You got actors, movie stars, rock stars, guys like me, everybody getting arrested for a drug possession every other week. It just is not even making a ripple in a toilet bowl anymore. But the fact that he was running around nude with a bongo drum, to me, that's significant news. That says this is a happy man. If it was a cat who was working a backhoe someplace, I'd think, well, the next thing he's going to do is sever his own penis or some kind of a white trash thing like that. But because it's Matthew McConaughey nude with a bongo drum, I'm figuring art. And he flashed that hook 'em horn sign, baby, as he was coming out of the joint there, as he was on the bricks in his lawyer's car, hook 'em horns. Let's party. God damn, I was at Disneyland on Sunday. I so wanted to buy that bongo drum, and I didn't. And I'm telling you, I was there at Adventureland, and I walked up to that thing. I said to my wife, what do you think about me with this drum? She's like, yeah, it's great. And she kept, you know, she moved off, got herself a cafe latte or something. I was standing there with that little drum making all kinds of noise till they threw me out. That little bongo drum there in the Adventureland Bazaar. And my kid there, Catherine, 8 years old, I go, what do you think about this bongo drum? She couldn't take it either. She bugged out. She got her stuffed toy and got the hell out of there. Bongo drum. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. But there's one now.
Certain acoustic sets and things like that.
So you play the bongos?
I got a set of bongos right now. And
tell me, how serious are you with these bongos? Do you use them in any sets that you guys do on stage?
Like I said, occasionally some acoustic sets use the bongos. And I do, you know, I'm into it to a certain level. And I'm very proficient, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, I want to know, are you really good at it?
Oh, yeah, I'm very proficient. I mean, I do... I do very, very good on a bongo drums because it's just you have to have a rhythm though. So one thing that I would say to you before you take any lessons in a bongo, that you got to have a bongo, you know, you got to have rhythm for percussion because I play the drums. I do.
What are they there?
I got them right over here. If I put the phone down, I guess you could hear them.
Okay, go, put the phone down and get your bongos ready, man.
All right. Yeah, I don't know what you want me to play.
Play anything, man.
All right. One, two, three. Yeah.
Okay, can I interrupt you?
Yeah, man.
Play something. I didn't recognize that. Play something like one of the great percussion, one of the great demonstrations of rock and roll percussion in my memory is like Santana's Soul Sacrifice.
Know It Well, Phil. We do it in our set.
You do that song?
Yeah, our band does it. Know It Well.
Okay, go ahead and lay that on me, okay?
All right, this is Soul Sacrifice. This is sort of the way Jose Chupita Arias and Michael Shreve of Santana do it. And I'll just have to sing the song, you know.
Okay, Soul Sacrifice goes what?
Oh, it starts out.
Are you okay?
What?
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm just getting into it. Wait a second, where was I? Okay.
You were like getting into the second bar, I guess.
Okay. Okay, what I'm going to do is an extended bongo solo. And
okay, just back it off the phone, all right?
All right. I'm going to do an extended bongo solo. It goes like this. One, two, three.
That was you on the bongos?
Yeah, that's textbook. Okay, that's textbook. That's what you do when you want to do, you know, when you want to get, like, you know, into it.
Tired, huh?
Yeah, I'm very tired, man. But that's textbook bongoing, what you call bongo or the bongoing.
Okay, textbook bongoing. Here is West L.A. on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi.
I
just wanted to say to you that I'm a 53-year-old woman who has raised her children basically by herself for the last 18 years.
Hold on for just a minute, ma'am. Are you playing the bongos?
I'm just trying them out. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, ma'am.
And I've raised my kids for the last 18 years by myself. I made sure that everybody was college educated, so I had no time for myself. And then I finally decided that I wanted to do something for myself, and my friends thought I was crazy. But I took up African drumming.
Cool. Now, what kind of drums would you call those?
Okay.
Those are probably conga drums, Phil.
In the African drums, you can play the djun-djun or the djembe.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard of them.
Okay.
And they're very, they're difficult to play.
Have you got your drums?
I do, but I can't play them this time of night. My grandson is sleeping.
Oh, God, it would be cool.
Yeah,
I can play a little bit of what I think the lady's talking about, Phil.
African drumming?
Yeah, I'm fairly proficient at that.
Well, let's hear it.
All right. One, two, three.
That's not it at all.
What? What? I'm sorry?
That's not it at all.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about, first of all, it sounds like you're playing your lap.
Well, you know, I don't know what you're talking about, but I've been very proficient at drumming for a long time.
That surprises me.
Why's that?
Because it doesn't sound very good.
Well,
I don't have a very educated ear. You're saying that that drumming he just did isn't...
No, wait.
It sounds like he's hitting his lap. He's not hitting a drum.
I'm hitting a drum pad, okay? I don't have my drum with me.
I know it wasn't a drum.
All right, here we go. I mean, I don't know what the lady's saying. Is she saying I suck?
Yeah, I think she is.
Wait. Tell me that
such a nice... Listen, it's such a nice try.
Tell me that sucks. Cold shot, man.
Buonasera, vi ringraziamo per aver scelto di volare con Phil Henry Air. Voleremo ad un'altitudine di 30.000 piedi e cappuccino. Il volo di stasera offrirà Al Pacino e devo inoltre annunciare che Mafia. And now, here is Phil.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You're doing all right, Tony, for working once a week. You're working on other people's shows, though, aren't you? Sure you are. You screw them up, too? I'm joking. Nah, you're doing great. 1-800-449-8686. Rudy Canoza is a relationship expert that we've had on our program from time to time. Rudy, you want to come on in? And, man, that microphone right there.
How are you tonight?
Good. How are you?
Well, I told Mike that I was looking forward to coming into this to your studio to speak with you because
we've talked on the phone a lot, haven't we?
We've spoke on the phone so much, but for me this is exciting to see you how you work here, and thank you so much for allowing me to come in.
And I see that you brought some friends, and they're there with Mike, huh?
Yes, it's, one is my one is my brother. The other is a young lady that I brought with me tonight.
What is her name?
That is Alicia. Alicia.
Hello, Alicia.
She's not one to come in, but she's a nice lady, and I'm a great time for me to be here, but I'm a little bit nervous.
Well, you know what? We're going to make this as easy as we can, Rudy. One of the reasons why I wanted you in here is Vanity Fair has done a piece on the Bond girls.
Yes.
And these are the women who appeared in all the James Bond movies. These were the very famous femme fatales, the famous antagonists sometimes. They were the female... You know, the female counterparts to the great 007.
Well, I will tell you, I love to see the James Bond movies, and for me, the one of the great experiences to see the beautiful women.
Now, tell me, before we take a look at the different Bond girls and a lot of these actresses down through the years, you had an interesting thing that you said to me before we went on the air this evening. We were talking by phone about how a woman ages.
Basically, Phil, what I believe is that the woman the woman never loses her beauty. A woman, her beauty changes from the time she is very young. She has the beauty of a child. From the time she is a young woman, that is the beauty of a young woman. Then she becomes, of course, a woman in full flower. And that is a specific kind of beauty. And then she becomes a woman who is in her middle age, if you will. And more women are so beautiful now.
Are women, middle-aged women, women in their 40s and 50s, are way more beautiful now than they used to be, aren't they?
I believe so, because I think they are encouraged to be sexy. They are encouraged to be stylish. They are encouraged to have a beautiful sexual style, as well as a sensual style, as well as a fashion style. And this is the best thing for a woman, the greatest thing, I think, to happen to women in the history of the relations between the sexes, is for a woman today, women who are 45 to 50, 55, the most beautiful women. And
well, I got to agree with you. My wife is 43, man. She's
your wife is a knockout. She's
she is, and she dresses in a contemporary, youthful way, and that's a cool thing. So what I wanted to do here, Rudy, is I was going to take a look. We have pictures of all of the Bond women: Ursula Andress, Shirley Eaton. You remember Shirley Eaton, who played? Was she the one who? I forget. She was like a blonde in Goldfinger, and we have Shirley Eaton's the one who was painted gold, right?
Was that the gold girl, the Goldfinger girl?
The Goldfinger, she was the one who was painted gold. Here's Honor Blackman. She was Pussy Galore. You remember her? Luciana Paluzzi, who is Fiona Volpe. Plenty O'Toole, played by Lana. We've got all of their pictures there, and I've got them in front of you. You see them?
Yes.
Okay. Those are all the pictures of them when they were in the Bond movies as young women. Now, when you see those, I will show you pictures of them as the women they are today. Some of them in their 40s, some of them in their 50s, some of them in their 60s. And tell me how well they've aged.
Well, you know, you speak of, first of all, you speak of Ursula Andress or Shirley Eaton. These are beautiful women. I don't think that, I don't think you're going to have a problem with the way these women will take care. They're most beautiful women.
All right. There's a picture of Ursula Andress. Ursula Andress, according to Vanity Fair, she rose from the sea, dripping wet and packing a knife, and just like that, the gold standard had been set. The glistening island girl centerpiece of the first ever Bond picture, Dr. No. She played the character Honey Rider, and Honey was a kind of Aphrodite with the know-how self-taught, with her know-how self-taught by reading an encyclopedia. There's Ursula in the movie.
She is a beautiful woman. She is a sexy, sexy woman when she was very young. And, of course, you can see her beautiful legs. And a stunning, very striking, very, very exotic face, beautiful lips on Ursula Andress.
Okay, now put that picture away.
All right.
And here is a picture of her now, well into her early 60s. Here she is.
Oh, Christ.
You all right?
Hold on. You shouldn't.
Well, what's the matter?
Whew.
What's the matter?
Well, you said to me that... Christ.
Well, that's Ursula Andress, right?
That's Ursula, yes. Yes. How old is she?
60, I don't know. She's in her 60s.
Oh, boy. That's too bad.
What is too bad? Now, wait a second, okay?
No, Phil. You see, when I told you...
But wait. You said that a woman can age and look very beautiful.
You told me she had aged well. You told me.
No, you're the guy that said that a lot of these women today are sexy and beautiful, okay? What are you telling me?
I want to say that I thought Ursula Andress, when I was a young man, when she was young, she was most beautiful. This is rough.
What's rough about it?
Oh.
All right, let's move on, okay?
No, I just...
Well, then what's wrong?
Well, I don't think her face, first of all, her hair is pulled back. It's very severe. Secondly, I think she's lost her hips. She's very thin to the hips.
But she looks to be in pretty good shape, huh?
Well, maybe we should move on.
I'm sorry?
Let's just move on.
Do you want to,
could I get some water?
Could you get him a glass of water, please? Okay. I take it she didn't age well.
If we could move on, I'd...
All right, here is Shirley Eaton, the picture you're holding there. Shirley Eaton, as punishment for switching over to Bond's side, Goldfinger's blonde seductress paid the ultimate price, cinematically speaking. She was painted in gold by Oddjob, the mute, hulking manservant of the malevolent Goldfinger. Lounging around Miami's Fountain Blue Hotel in a black bra and panties, Jill posed the definitive question to Bond, "Who are you?" If you don't know the answer to her question, you have no business reading these captions. Shirley Eaton, she played Jill Masterson, and you see her there.
This picture of her, she's painted gold from the movie. There's also a shot here from the set. And you can see what a beautiful body she has and a very lovely face. She's a blonde with a most seductive eyes, beautiful lips, and again, a great... Great body, a great athletic body.
All right. Here is Shirley Eaton, who played Jill Masterson, as she is today, well into her 60s. Here she is.
God.
Hold on, Frick. Hold him. Hold. Do you need...
God.
What's the matter?
I'm, Phil, I don't think... Hold.
Get him the water, Tony.
Oh, he cried.
Do you want the water?
Yes, please.
If you're holding onto the microphone...
I don't know, but...
I...
Can I get some air?
Yeah, open the door, please.
Ah, jeez.
Wow.
Wow.
You can't possibly tell me she looks that bad.
No, I had hoped for more, for sure.
She's in those of you who have the Vanity Fair...
My image of her is forever almost ruined because I saw her, you know...
You saw her as Goldfang, as the girl who was painted gold, but this is her in her 60s. Those of you who have the Vanity Fair at home, why don't you take a look and follow along with us? Is she that bad?
Well, she's...
Is she that bad?
Phil, could I ask a question of you?
Yes.
Are these all these women who I so loved and admired when I was a young man to see these Bond movies, when I saw these movies, are they all... have they all turned to this state?
You know something, man? I think every single one of these women is, in her own way, extremely attractive, so...
But that's why... That's why
I know you're a relationship expert. I don't know whether or not that makes you a beauty expert. It is in the eye of the beholder, isn't it? I honestly thought that you would find these women had aged well. Sit down, Rudy, okay?
I just wanted to walk around.
All right, you've walked around. Sit down.
Who is next? If this picture...
You're reacting as if these women are horrific, you know?
No, but you have to know, I've known many women in my life. I've seen many women grow old and age. I think they're beautiful. They're...
Ursula Andress, was she beautiful?
Yeah, sure.
Was she beautiful?
Yes, all right. Jesus Christ.
And what about Shirley Eaton? Beautiful? Shirley Eaton, beautiful?
I don't remember. I'm so depressed.
You're what?
I'm depressed.
I'm sorry, man.
Well, you brought me in.
I'm sorry, okay? Look, here's the next one. You remember Pussy Galore?
Pussy Galore was the most voluptuous of many of the Bond women.
All right, Pussy Galore was played by a woman named, an actress named Honor Blackman. Starring opposite Sean Connery in the splendid Goldfinger, Blackman had the best Bond girl name. Her Garbo-esque pilot-turned-judo expert seemed to dabble in lesbian chic 30 years before Sharon Stone had the nerve to try it. You see Honor Blackman there as Pussy Galore?
Look at those. I'm sorry, but...
I know, she had nice breasts, right?
Yes, she did. And also this very butch Marlena Dietrich kind of approach here. She's lovely. And very sexy. I remember in Goldfinger when she pushed Sean Connery down into the straw in the barn, you know, and they were kissing. That was wonderfully sexy, also wonderfully dominant, and something very sexy to men about a woman who is dominant.
Okay. All right, now, are you okay?
What are you going to do?
I'm going to show you a picture of her now in her 60s.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to show you a picture of her in her 60s. Act like a man, okay?
But you showed me as Landris. You showed me Shirley Eaton. Why would you do...
Just, it's okay. The woman got older. I think she's very pretty.
I have not seen her picture.
I'm going to show you a picture of her now in her 60s. Okay, you ready? What are you doing?
I'm taking a deep breath. Just...
Oh, come on.
You freak me out again. Okay, show it to me.
Here is Honor Blackman.
God.
Ow. Ow.
Oh, grow up, will you?
No, you know something. You have me on your program.
Here she is right here. Take a look.
Got it. Yeah!
Give me that magazine. What are you doing?
Oh, you ambushed me with these women. You know that, you...
Can we take a break here, Tony, and get him some water?
God, yeah.
Phil Hendry Show at 1-800-449-8686.
Wow, wow, wow.
Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. Rudy Kanosian's in studio. We're looking at pictures of the Bond girls when they were young women in the Bond movies, and now as they've put on a few years. You're a big fan of these women, right?
Well, I love the way the women look as young women, yes. But
well, you have evidenced some shock at seeing Ursula Andress and Shirley Eaton and Honor Blackman. Here is Jill St. Do you see the picture of Jill St. John?
Yes, Jill St. John was perhaps the most beautiful woman that I had ever seen at one point in my life. A beautiful face and wonderful legs.
All right, Jill St. John played Tiffany Case as a diamond smuggler with a weakness for mink and gaudy bikinis. St. John was the first American love interest in the crackling Diamonds Are Forever. Case was born on the first floor of Tiffany's while her mother looked for a wedding ring. Bond said, "Well, I'm glad for your sake it wasn't Van Cleef and Appel's."
That's a reference to a store that a lot of your listeners probably cannot afford to get into.
All right. Now, I got to bring a caller on in Anaheim. Is the lady there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, ma'am. Now, I'm going to show you Jill St. John, Rudy, as a young woman.
Absolutely beautiful.
And now here she is, well into her 60s.
Gosh.
What?
Oh, God.
What do you mean, oh, God?
Oh, Christ. Have you ever...
Wait a minute, you. Oh. How old are you?
Oh.
What, are you going to faint just because the woman is turning 60?
I think so.
Oh.
How old is he?
Help me. Help me.
You want some more water, Rudy?
Please help me.
Man, help you.
Please help me.
Put his head under some water or something.
Hold on.
Help me.
I'll be back for you. It won't be long. But for now, there's something else that's calling me.
God, she's ugly.
So take me down. Who's ugly? Road.
Jill St. John.
Jill St. John is ugly. What do you mean?
I need a vomit bag.
What?
I just want to be the one you run to. I just want to be the one you come to. I just want to be there with someone when the night comes. Let's put all the tears behind us. We'll never find us. I just want to be there beside you when the night comes.
Oh, boy.
Look, Rudy, it's Jill St. John. She's beautiful.
Bull crap.
Well, of course she is.
Bull crap.
Bull crap.
Two spirits in the mind. You can leave before the morning light. When there's nothing left to lose and nothing left to fear. So meet me on the edge of time. Don't keep me waiting. I'll be right. Then you and I. We'll just roll right out of here. I just want to be the one you run to. I just want to be the one you come to. I just want to be there with someone when the night comes. Let's put all our cares behind us. Go where they'll never find us. I just want to be there beside you when the night comes.
Jane Seymour, bad news.
Think of all the pieces I've been shattered.